I'm Shannon White, and I'm running for mayor, and I'm so happy to be here. Apathy is death is really what my campaign and candidacy is a commitment to. When I decided to run for mayor, I looked at the current field of candidates and thought, I need to join that conversation. And so I'm so happy to be involved in the race and happy to be here today. First, people ask me, who is Shannon White? Well, I started a nonprofit in town called Dress for Success, and I helped 3,000 women get back to work and achieve self-sufficiency. Next, I was president of YPAL, which is the Young Professionals Association of Louisville, and I have a clear understanding of what it takes to attract exceptional talent in our city. And thirdly, for the past 3 years, I've worked with Congressman John Yarmuth, helping him raise reelection funds and be sure that we have a great leader like Congressman Yarmuth in our community. I want you to know that I'm a working mother, I'm a real person, I drive a Ford Expedition with 115,000 miles on it, and I'm in this because I want the best for Louisville moving forward. So I encourage you to visit my website, whiteformayor.com. It's white4mayor.com. And I look forward to your questions. Thank you very much.
I looked around and I saw something that I thought the community was being apathetic about. There was this huge transportation plan on the table for the community. And it clearly was the current generation of leaders had a plan to bury our downtown in 23 lanes of concrete. They're planning to expand the highway over Waterfront Park, something you all probably all grew up with. Now, that's just new to me as an adult, that park. And it was just this incredibly stunning, frustrating thing on the horizon. And I looked around and it seemed like the community actually was pretty apathetic about it. Then I discovered they weren't apathetic, it's just they didn't know. Nobody was being involved in the conversation. And so I set about and dedicated the past 5 years of my life to doing that. And a partner and I founded a group called 8664.org. And it was an effort to try to make sure that this community wasn't apathetic, but I don't believe this community is apathetic. I believe they just weren't part of the conversation. And that's what my campaign is about. And so I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to talk with you all this afternoon, because the next mayor has to be able to get out of his or her own skin enough to look around and realize that we're making decisions about the way we build this community, not simply for us, but for generations to come. And so we've got to be building the city in such a way that you all may grow up, go off somewhere here, build yourself a life, but we gotta make sure this community is competitive enough that you can have opportunity if you wanna be here, or other folks from around this country may choose this community to build their lives. And so I can't wait to hear the questions this afternoon. I'm looking forward to talking with you. Thanks.
Good afternoon, my name is Chris Thieneman. I'm a Republican candidate for mayor. And unlike Tyler, when I heard the name, Apathy is Death, I said, hey, that's where I want to be. So I was happy to hear that of that name, because that is truly what's going on. It will be the death of this community if we don't get through that. But I was born and raised right here in Louisville, down on Cane Run Road. Then I went to Bishop David High School, where I got a football scholarship to the University of Louisville. I moved down here right on 4th Street and walked the neighborhood over here many times. And before graduating from the University of Louisville, I was honored by being an All-American football player. And I know we have at least one new football player that's going to be out there going to Navy. I commend you for that. But from there, I played very briefly for the Dallas Cowboys, and then I had a successful career up in the Canadian Football League. But I knew that Louisville was always going to be my home. So I came back home and had two beautiful little girls, 13 and 10, and decided I wanted to get active, besides just being in the family business. My family business collectively build the most homes in the city of Louisville. The Thienemans have been a longtime home builder for 50 years in this community. My cousins are the Paul's Fruit Markets. We got a big Catholic family. But besides business, we wanted to give back. And I started a nonprofit called the Mid-Jubilee. And before I gave it to U of L to run, I have, along with my brother and co-founder Matt Battaglia, have given away to cancer causing to the James John Brown Cancer Center over 100. Let's see, the last year that I wrote a check for almost $250,000, and that's something that I was so proud of. But then I wanted to do more, and then Hurricane Katrina came, and I said, I know a town that the citizens of Louisiana would love to come relocate at. So I took a group, we started a group called the Joseph Project, and we went down here and brought actually 200 families up to Louisville. I was in charge of 20, and I got them into our multifamily properties and helped them get jobs, and that was so fulfilling. and I got active. And by everything that I was getting involved with, all the newspapers throughout the state of Kentucky took notice of that. And then they nominated me, and I was awarded one of the 40 leaders under the age of 40 that were going to lead this community in the new millennium. And I was really honored by that. And with that is what I would hope that each and every one of you do. Get involved. And I thank you so much for coming out today, because let me tell you, I've been around politics since I've been a little kid. And most of these politicians, they don't want a lot of voters going out there. The less the voters, the easier to control. And that's what you see today with the Tea Party. They're coming out here and they're making a point. They're getting heard. And they're making politicians nervous. And that could be the best thing for all of us. And that will keep apathy from happening to us. And I encourage you to continue and continue and continue to fight for your rights. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lisa Moxley, and I'm a Democratic candidate for mayor. I grew up here in Louisville and went to St. Francis High School. Graduated from the University of Virginia and then the College of William & Mary's School of Law. I am an entertainment attorney by trade, and what that means is I do a lot of contract negotiations, a lot of script review for television shows. I got to work on the Law & Order show, which is a really cool show, even in reruns. And that was a lot of fun. And worked for some really great companies, NBC and Fox and Disney, and had a great time doing that, living in Los Angeles and New York. I also was active on the Obama presidential campaign and worked on that campaign in a lot of different capacities, and spent some time in Chicago and Iowa and Ohio, and of course here, where I was press secretary during the primary. And recently I focused my attention on more service-oriented activities and working in underserved communities to bring fresh fruit and vegetables to areas of town that don't have a lot of grocery stores, what we call food deserts. And also I do work developing programs for leadership training for young women and girls. So I see a lot of young women and girls here. I hope that you will talk to me afterwards. I would love to tell you about what I'm doing and how you can get involved in some of the work that I do. But I got in the race because, you know, we have a really great opportunity now, for the first time in a long time, to come together as a community and decide the direction that we want to take here in Louisville. So I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to your questions.
Hello, my name is Greg Fisher. It's great to be here at Manual High School. You guys are one of the great high schools in the world. Not just Kentucky, but not just America, in the world. There you go. So you're a good role model for all of us, because I think a lot of what we can do here in Kentucky, when we want to be the best in the world, we can do that. So thank you for modeling that for us. I'm married to a Greek lady named Alexandra Gerasimides. We have four kids. We have two in college now and two in high school. So we're very active, just like you guys are. Today I'll be talking about three things, and some others, but I'll talk about integrity, improvement, and inclusion. And what I mean by integrity is the values that we want to help our city grow. And I do say grow, because if we're not growing, we're dying. So values from the mayor's office, like transparency, open and honest government, accountability, both for the leaders, but also citizens, right? You guys are very active as citizens, helping to make the community a better place. And then just an old-fashioned value that all of our parents hopefully taught us, and that's treating everybody with the same dignity and the same respect. All of that goes into my reason for running for mayor, which is to improve the quality of life for all Louisvillians, from the west, to the south, to the east. The next is improvement. And by improvement, what do we want to be as a city? Do we want to grow? Do we want to bump along? Do we want to decline? What do we want? It's been almost a quarter century since some of my colleagues up here stated that we've chosen a mayor. So there's a lot of energy and restlessness in the community about this race, and because it stands a lot for what we want to do as a community. I think we're a little bit out of balance right now. One of my goals is, if one of your colleagues, one of your friends, one of my kids, one of my parents' grandkids want to stay in Louisville and get a job as good as anywhere in the world, they need to do that. And we currently don't have that situation. You know, oftentimes people need to go to Chicago, New York, LA. That's fine. When I was young, I traveled a lot, had different experiences around the world, but then I wanted to come back to Louisville. So when you want to come back to Louisville or stay here in Louisville, I would hope that you could get a job as good as any city in the world. So we need to grow. My background is I'm an entrepreneur and a business person. In the early 1980s, I was an inventor of these ice and beverage dispensing machines that you see everywhere now in convenience stores and restaurants. And I know that sounds very old school, but in the early 1980s, those things did not exist. So I then built a global manufacturing company around that. So I come at this election from the perspective of jobs, jobs, jobs. Green collar jobs, blue collar jobs, white collar jobs. That's what we need to grow our community. And the last point is inclusion. By inclusion, I mean when you see a community or a city that's on the move, you see a diverse community. You see people of all different skin colors, all different languages, ethnicities, orientations that are around the table of leadership and community volunteerism that are working on making the community better. So inclusion means everybody feels like they have a chance to win in the community. So again, my name is Greg Fisher. I'm running on the Democratic side, and I look forward to our conversation today. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is David Tankney, and I am a Democrat running for mayor of Louisville. I'm currently the city councilman, 4th District Councilman. We're representing downtown Louisville and the neighborhoods that border downtown on the east and the west. I also was the past president of the city council. But one of the things I wanted to say to you was there was a I'm glad to see all of y'all here because there was actually a book that was written by a guy named Robert Fulkel back some years ago. He said, everything I needed to learn in life, I learned in kindergarten. And for me, getting involved in public service, everything I wanted to learn in life, I learned through youth and government and participating in the Kentucky Youth Assembly or the Kentucky United Nations Assembly and right here in high school. And I don't know about y'all, I don't know how many Y kids there are out there, but I'm a Y kid. And everything that you want to do in life, when you set your mind to it, you can make that happen. That's why I'm running for mayor. I'm running for mayor because I want all of y'all to come back. I've got my wife and I, Carol and I, have a 6-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 10-month-old little boy at home. And at the end of the day, when they decide they go off to college somewhere, I was talking to some friends up here just a few minutes ago, they were saying they're going off to Chicago or they're going off to Wisconsin for school. That's fine. We want you to go off and enjoy yourself and see different parts of the world. But we want you to be able to come back to Louisville, Kentucky, to be able to live and to find those 21st century jobs that you want to be engaged in. As a matter of fact, the jobs that you're going to be seeking in the future probably haven't even been invented yet. And so we need to be the type of city that is ready to embrace those challenges and move our city forward. Now the question that's going to be, it has to be answered in this campaign is, who's going to lead us in the future? Yes, we will elect the mayor, and I'm asking you to elect me as your next mayor. But more importantly than that, what I'm asking for you to do is for you to participate in this process, to be engaged, to be those change agents that we need in this community. Again, my name is David Tandy. I'm running for mayor. I look forward to sharing my ideas with you, but more importantly, I look forward to hearing your thoughts and concerns as well. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Those of you who feel like standing and getting the blood circulating, feel free. I've been dying to stand for several minutes now. It's been a long day. I'm Jackie Green. I'm the independent candidate for mayor. I'm not a Republican, not a Democrat. I'm an independent. And you can Google Jackie Green, mayor. You'll find my website and all the information you want to see there about who Jackie Green is. I'll tell you one thing, then we're going to leave Jackie Green. In 1971, I graduated from a high school in São Paulo, Brazil. My fellow students and our teachers were from Peru, Cuba, New York, Chicago, LA, England, Denmark, Germany, Italy, Turkey, Israel, South Africa, Japan, China, Russia, etc. 40 years ago, the lesson learned was that the world is interrelated and small. Today, it is smaller. The relationships are tighter, and it's all in flux, changing and changing rapidly. Wish my eyes were better. I wouldn't have to write so big. What happens in the Niger Delta impacts
DuPont Manual. What happens at DuPont Manual impacts Siberia's tundra. You and I, we live with, we cooperate with, and we compete with everyone on our planet. This mayoral race concerns our place on this very dynamic, very small Earth. I want you to pay attention to the big picture. Focus on the huge issues that face you. Thank you, Jackie Green.
Well, my name is Hal Heiner. I'm a Republican running to be mayor here in Louisville. They say a speaker should know the audience or what's important to them. And I need to ask you a question. If you can think a few decades from now, when you're my age, do you hope to be living in Louisville? And I'd just be interested with a show of hands. Who, when you're my age, when your hair's starting to turn a little gray, maybe a lot gray, who hopes to be living in Louisville? Raise your hands. I'd say about half. Let me ask you one other question. If Louisville was a better city, in other words, if Louisville was a growing city, if downtown was more exciting, if there were more things to do in Louisville, if we had some actual growth, some new businesses coming into Louisville, let's do a show of hands for that. Then, when you're my age, would you hope to be living in Louisville? Raise your hands if you would. A few more hands. I'd say we went from 50% to 70%. That's why I'm running for mayor. In Louisville, we have not been competitive with other cities in the Midwest. In the first 8 years of this decade, before the recession, Indianapolis grew 50,000 new jobs. Nashville grew 50,000 new jobs. New jobs. Cincinnati grew 20,000 new jobs. Louisville, we lost 2,000 jobs. Now, when it comes time for you to look for that first job, are you more likely to find it in a Nashville, an Indianapolis, a Cincinnati, or in Louisville? I can tell you what happened to my first two children of our four when they got out of school. They went out of Louisville for opportunity. That's personal for me. Now they're raising two of my grandchildren 1,000 miles away. I hope to change that in Louisville. In my business life, we build buildings for business. And we've built enough buildings that you can put probably, I don't know, 50, 75 football fields in them. A lot of buildings. And I've talked to a lot of businesses. And I'll tell you, Louisville often comes close. We are a great city. From Waterfront Park to UPS and Humana, and a lot of great things to do. 4th Street Live. So we often make the final four. But we aren't often selected. We don't often are the city that the company decides to locate into. Because that's what I've done in my business life. I know these businesses. A lot of them are from Europe, Asia. Their headquarters a lot of times are East Coast, West Coast. I know the businesses. I've spent the last 7 years on this Metro Council, which is a new, young government. We voted for merger in 2002. That was the start of a new government. Instead of having two governments, a city and county, one government for our whole city. And with one government, we should be able to have one vision and move towards it and compete with these other cities for the best jobs, actually have some growth and increase opportunities so that when you get out of school, the best opportunities are here in Louisville. So I hope through this campaign to take what I've done in my business life, which is attract businesses, and what I've done on the council for the last 7 years, where I've been in leadership, where I've gotten to see Louisville up close, what the great parts are about Louisville. I'm hoping to take those two pieces into the mayor's office to help grow jobs and opportunities here in Louisville. So that when you finish your education, or when you get to be my age, and you have this kind of graying hair, I don't know where it came from, it just showed up one day. But when you get to that point, and you're looking for that next job, say, you know what? There's a lot going on in Louisville. That was a great place when I was a kid. Let's move back there. And I hope that happens, and that's why I'm running for mayor. My name's Hal Heiner. Good afternoon.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Robertson, and if I had all your phone numbers, I would have texted you this message so you didn't have to listen to it, because I know you all like to text. They laughed, you didn't. I'm in this mayoral race because I feel like that I have a lot to offer the city of Louisville. I am a dreamer. I love to dream of things that most people don't see. And I believe that Louisville never dreams big enough. Louisville always seems to do just what needs to be done to get by with what we need for the next few years. And one of the reasons why that happens is because of politicians. Politicians only go far enough out through the next election cycles so they can get reelected. So what we need to do as Louisville is we need to dream big without paying attention to the election cycle. We need to dream big about what we can do, not 5 years, not 10 years, but 20 or 30 years down the road, so that when you are raising your families, you'll have a reason to stay in Louisville, you'll have a reason to come back to Louisville, like everybody else has said. But we want to make Louisville an exciting place. We want to dream big, and your generation is more in a better position than any other generation before us. You are technologically savvy, you're smarter than any other generation's been before. You have the tools at your fingertips to make it happen here in Louisville. You have the tools to keep us from being apathetic. We have a whole country of apathetic people. I tell people all the time, as long as we have, as citizens of the United States, as long as we have our cable TV and our internet, we don't complain. So what we need to do, maybe we should shut off the cable TV and internet so people will pay attention. But we need to do something. We need to get out of our chairs, and we need to all start seeing what we can do to make our community grow. Something that hasn't been thought of before, and you all have lots of ideas as young people. Don't think those ideas are too big. Never think they're too big, because they're not. You know, if we'd have thought that, we would have never put people on the moon, as well as many other things that we've done. We need to think big, and we need to do big, and we need to make things happen here in Louisville, Kentucky. I am Jonathan Robertson, and I'd like to be your next mayor.
All right, thank you very much. I'm going to ask that for the Q&A, we keep our questions brief so that we can hear as many questions and hear from as many people as possible. So we'll start with Mr. Allen. We're going to start with a question from Carolyn Brown, followed by a question from Maria Stark.
Made a positive step in merging with Jefferson County to become Metro Louisville?
Yes, I do, and I actually worked on the merger campaign. Actually, I was a high schooler when we tried to do this in the early 1980s. We had two votes to try to do it, and the community could not come together. And when I was a student at Northwestern University for a sociology class, I actually ended up doing a paper where I came back to Louisville and met with about everybody I could find who was involved in either one of those votes to learn about what had happened, what the community was thinking, who was for it, who was against, and what we can do to bring the community together, just to understand that. And when I moved back after teaching school in New Orleans, it didn't come back up around until a few years later. And when it did, I actually volunteered on the campaign. I remember standing at the Walmart in Valley Station and handing out flyers and talking about it. And the reason I think it was such an important deal, it was the vision that I saw for it then was, you know, someday in the not too distant future, if we pass merger, somebody who represents folks in Valley Station will be sitting on the council with someone who represents Prospect. And at that point, I really believe that you would have vastly better representation for the city of Louisville, for the individual citizens around the county, much like they did in the city, because that's the way the old city was represented. You would have a lot better communication, and I thought over time that you would in fact see that the community would start pulling together. Now, I'm not sure that is exactly how it has occurred, and that's why I'm most excited about this race right now, because we changed our government, we made reference to a new young government, but we actually didn't bring in new leadership. We had a lot of the same leadership. And this race, quite frankly, no matter who you elect up here, it's clearly going to be somebody new. And I'm in this race because I think I offer something particularly new. And so merger is a huge step forward for the city, but it is not fulfilled. And I'm really looking forward to working on that as mayor. So thank you for the question.
You know, I believe that merger is and was good for the city of Louisville. Now, in a general way, There are many, many problems with it today. And that's what we need to have leadership to change the problems that are going on with our new merged government. And that's where I've been a very active citizen of Louisville. And last year, I was in a major part in trying to pass Senate Bill 80, which was a bill to have more transparency for the budget, that our mayor has more authority over our local budget than the governor does over the state of Kentucky. Many, many things that are wrong with merger. Now, we passed that bill in the Senate, but the House has killed it. As a matter of fact, they won't even allow it to be brought to a floor vote. They do not want that to go because that would change the power. And the Metro Council, our government, and probably one of the biggest things that need to be changed. And one of the few things that I think the current mayor and I would agree on is that there is no liberal or conservative way to run a city. There is a functional and a dysfunctional way of running it. Personally, and I know for a fact that we are being run in a very dysfunctional way. While our Metro Council men and women are sitting there watching and doing nothing because they've completely been scared of the current administration. Now, you can see over in other great cities like San Diego and Chicago, and to be honest with you, even Lexington. Their Metro Council members, they do not have a Republican or Democratic caucus. They are independents. They are nonpartisan positions. And Jerry Abramson in 2004 said that's how he wished the Metro Council was. Well, it's going to be one of my things to try to, one of the many changes that we need, but one that I think this city needs, is to have a nonpartisan Metro Council. Because too many times they are worried about what the Democrats are voting or how the Republicans are voting instead of how the people need to be represented. But you'll see more about that in the following, on the website, theinformayor.com. Thank you.
I actually was not living in Louisville at the time that the merger was being discussed beforehand and actually when it happened several years ago. So my perspective on it is a little bit different from the folks who were living here. And while I'm certainly in agreement that the idea of it was to bring, you know, everybody together, it was a unifying concept. And I'm obviously thinking that that's obviously a good thing. And I think a lot of us are in this race because we want to see the fruition of that a little bit more. I think the implementation of it has been a little rocky. And I think we're still working out the kinks and trying to figure out how to achieve the one Louisville that was the vision for merger. So the jury is still out on that, but I think we're going to work really hard to make sure that the vision for the merger comes to pass.
I believe merger has been a good thing for the community because it allows or begins the process of the community speaking with one voice. When you take a look at some of our closest regional competitors, Nashville and Indianapolis, they merged their governments sometime before us, 20 to 30 years ago. They have additional advantage being state capital. But when you have a merged government, you can speak with one voice. I think that's particularly important when we're trying to recruit companies to town and when we're trying to grow jobs so that we speak to them with one voice. Before merger, you'd have the county talking to a company, you'd have the city talking to a company. They might even be talking about the same things. And when companies are trying to relocate, they've got a lot of things going on. They don't want to mess with dysfunctional government. So having one voice is extremely important to the community. What I believe we should do is, you know, when the next mayor gets in office, there'll be 8 years since the last merger. So that mayor should go to work immediately on putting together a broad community task force to identify what's worked well with merger and what hasn't worked well with merger. Any great learning organization stops periodically and reflects on the pluses and minuses so they can change those. And use that 10-year anniversary mark to bring in some new changes so we can grow stronger as one community as well. Thank you.
The merging of city and county government has been beneficial to our community. It has allowed for us to, in a very cohesive way, be able to move our city forward. But just merging government in and of itself hasn't been the silver bullet, nor should it be. We must continue to work to improve upon this new form of government, to make sure that every person, every neighborhood throughout Jefferson County is a vibrant, thriving community, that everyone in this community has the opportunity to reach their fullest potential. And that's our challenge moving forward, and that's the challenge of the next mayor, and that's the challenge that I would willingly accept. And I would do so only with the help of all the people in this room and throughout the community. Because it's only when all of us become actively engaged and participants in our community will we be the type of city that we all want it to be. In other words, to say it differently, what I want to see happen in terms of Louisville, Kentucky, is that we cultivate and grow more citizens as opposed to residents in our community. Citizens who are actively engaged, who are willing to be involved in the public process to help make their lives and their neighbors' lives a little bit better. Thank you.
I'm Jackie Green, independent mayoral candidate. I was not a fan of merger, and I remain at that place. I am still not a fan of merger. Merger has benefited the city, the county, but the jury's out on that, and only time will tell. What this election is about, you've heard a statement about this is concerning new ideas. What is one of the hugest idea that we're wrestling with right now? That idea has to do with bridges, one bridge or two bridge, a bridge here or a bridge there. Dwight Eisenhower, 1950, in 1950, interstate highways were a brilliant idea. Today, we've got great interstate highways. Building more of these interstates in our area is not as brilliant as once it was. The vision for Louisville needs to be shifted. We need a world-class public transit system. We need a culture of walking with safe streets that invite citizens to walk and to bicycle. We need affordable housing in every neighborhood. We need strong, diverse neighborhoods. We need excellent neighborhood schools in every neighborhood, again, both of which are diverse. We need an educated population, a healthy population. Our air and water needs to be cleaner. We need to decrease our energy dependencies. We need a growing self-reliance in our local economy. We need a more diverse local economy. We need to maintain great cultural amenities, and we need access to nearby natural areas, farms, fields, and forests. This election is about where we want to take Louisville. Whether that's merged or not is not the question. Merger is a historical fact. Here we are. Where do we go from here? That's the question. Let's keep our eye on it. Thank you.
My name is Hal Heiner. I was just thinking that vote for merger was 10 years ago. So I was trying to think how many people in the room today were sort of actively engaged in that decision for merger. I'm guessing not too many. But I want to tell you, it's the best thing government has done in a long time. And why it's important for us to grow jobs.
Sure.
Is this one louder? Yeah. Okay. It's important. Companies used to come into Louisville and they'd talk, we had a city government and a county government. And they'd come in and talk to the head of the city government, who was the mayor, and they'd say, what's your vision? Where is this city going? And they'd say, well, here's the 5, 6, 8, 10 things. This is what we're going to do. And they'd say, wow, that sounds pretty good. Looks like Louisville wants to go somewhere. And then the next day they'd go meet with the head of the county government. It was called a county judge executive. And I'd go in the county judge executive's office and say, well, where's Louisville going?
They list off 5, 6, 8, 10 items of what we're trying to accomplish and say, wow, looks like Louisville really wants to go somewhere. The only problem was the lists weren't the same. So we're sort of divided as a community, and it's very hard to make progress unless everybody is on the same page. Now, this is a new government. It's just 7 years old. In these past 7 years, we went through every law. This council that myself and David were on went through every law we had in the community and decide whether we throw it out or keep it in. And that was important to do. It was important to merge departments. That was important. But now's the time to find the efficiencies that leave some money left over to do some other things in this community, to increase opportunities, have better services, have more fun in Louisville, invest more in the park system, invest more in 4th Street. There's a laundry list of 1,000 things we could do here in Louisville if there was more money available. But the only way to find that is to find efficiencies in what we do now so that some money is left over. They've done it in other cities when they merged. They found efficiency. And that's the next job for this government. Find those efficiencies so we can improve, with using the same amount of tax money, improve our city even beyond what it is today. Thank you. My name is Hal Heinemann.
There's not a whole lot that I can add to that. Thank you all. Yes, the city-county merger was a good thing. I know a lot of Louisvillians didn't think so, and some of them still don't think so, but it was a good thing. But now, 7 years later, almost 8 years, we need to start working toward actually having a real merged government. I've been surprised to find that there are a lot of parts of our government that are not completely merged yet. Is that right? That seems to be what I'm finding out. And I think we need to, we're talking about efficiencies, we definitely need to talk about putting the two together and eliminating a lot of double work that's being done and eliminating a lot of cost as well. Because what I would like to do is I'd like to have more efficiency so that we can all have lower taxes, because I think all of us would enjoy lower taxes and would further stimulate our economy. But yes, that was a good thing, the city and county government.
Thank you. And I agree there's not too much to add, so I'll tell you I have three concerns about merger. I am pro-merger, and I think that it's been great for the community. But at first, I think I was skeptical, because right around the time that they voted on merger, Lexington had just merged their government. So there was a huge push to have Louisville be merged government, because they did not want Lexington to be Louisville as the biggest city in the state. But since we've come together, I think we've done a pretty good job of bringing city and county government together. But as I've been traveling around the community, people are still saying we feel forgotten, and these are in further areas of our city. And I think it's important that if we are a merged government, that we actually act as one community. So the kind of mayor that I want to be is I want to work better and more closely with the Metro Council, because sometimes there's an adversarial relationship that is not the best for our community. So merger has been good for the city, but I think that we can do better to come together moving forward.
All right, thank you very much. Next up, we have Maria Stark with a question, and the next question will be from Evan Hollander. Mr. Thieneman will start.
Okay, my question is, do you support the Fairness Ordinance, and what are your plans for Louisville's LGBT community?
Well, as far as the fairness, I'll give you the same answer that I gave the last person that asked me that question. As it currently stands, I am not for the Fairness Ordinance, and I'll tell you why. I said on the Louisville Forum that I had a friend, she's an older lady, but she's a heavyset lady, that said, you know, Chris, why do we have to have fairness for one certain group of people when I am so discriminated against because of the weight that I have, and I really would like to try to make it. Is there any way that we could be fair? If for me, for fairness, ought to be completely as fair for every different organization and every group that is discriminated against, and that's one of the main things that that I am against that fairness ordinance. And as far as the where I can help that group,
I would be, as mayor, as I will for every group, I will have an open door policy, and we can sit down and talk about your issues, and I will listen to your issues, and if we can be fair to your group and everyone else's group, then we can do make some changes that will be fair for everyone. Thank you.
I apologize to you guys for not standing, but I have a bum toe, so it's not good for me to put weight on it. But I do support the fairness ordinance, and it's just one of those things where, you know, we're talking about equal rights, and it's really just, for me, that simple. Discrimination, wherever we find it, we need to work to eradicate it, and so as mayor, I would certainly be active and involved in doing that. So that's my simple answer.
Fairness can be equated to what civil rights was 50 and 60 years ago, so that's the battle that we're fighting now in our country. So I'm a strong supporter of the fairness ordinance. In my administration, you would see all types of people in leadership positions, like, as I stated earlier, regardless where they came from, what language they speak, what their orientations are. When you go around cities that are on the move, you know, around the world, that's what you find. You don't see everybody sitting at the table solving problems that all look the same way and have had the same life experience. So diversity is extraordinarily important in any organization, the government included, and it's a critical aspect for us to be competitive globally, which is really what the way Louisville needs to think about. We're not just competing with Indianapolis and Nashville, we're competing with Bangalore and Taipei and cities around the world. So diversity and fairness is a critically important part for a city. Thank you.
Simply directly answer your question, yes, I do support the fairness ordinance. I have in the past on the council, look forward to doing it in the future as mayor, because one of our goals as your next mayor would be to make Louisville a destination city as opposed to a place that people go from time to time. And to be that destination city, you have to be a type of city that's welcoming for people of all backgrounds, including people who are from the international community or whatever, where have you. In my administration, what I see is true diversity. I mean, diversity nowadays sometimes is just a word where it gets tossed around, and you know, it's another code word for saying minority. But in fact, true diversity is having people from all backgrounds: conservative, liberal, gay, straight, white, you know, black, what, you know, what have you, rich or poor, and having those experiences represented in your government, so that when decisions are being made, they're being made with the full knowledge of the experiences of everyone in the community, and that's how we continue to move our community forward. So that's how I look forward to working with everyone in our community to make us a better city. Thank you.
Again, I'm Jackie Green, independent mayoral candidate. You're going to hear that every time. Settle in there. Fairness. Fairness is an equal rights issue. It is a civil rights issue. I support the rights of all of our citizens. I want to put to you a suggestion. I think domestic partnership is settling for a second-class citizenship. Go for the gold. I support gay marriage. I will go to Frankfurt and lobby for full equal rights for all of us. Thank you.
On the council, I voted against the fairness ordinance. I want to tell you what I said at the time. The Supreme Court has made it perfectly clear that protections for discrimination based on sex apply equally if you're male, female, gay, straight. Doesn't matter. And there's case after case where any kind of harassment or discrimination has always found in favor of the person discriminated against. I'm for fewer regulations. I'm also against discrimination. I would never have any part in discrimination in my personal life, my professional life, or my government life. But when there's a regulation that is
non-functional, and it's already covered by our rules. I don't think we ought to be enacting more regulations. I did vote no. This is always a tough issue. All I can say is what maybe some of the others have said is that I believe in being fair and non-discriminatory toward all people. We are a secular government, we're not a theocracy, so therefore we should treat everyone fair. I don't know the specifics of the ordinance, so therefore I can't say that yes or no. But as the legislation came up again, I would have to examine that legislation, take a look at that ordinance and see if it's something that I could support. But I do support fairness for all people of all walks of life, whether it be race, sex, religion, whatever. We do live in the United States of America where we all have certain inalienable rights.
Thank you. This is not only a civil rights or an equal rights issue, this is a human rights issue. And I want to tell you that at the end of January, we had a debate when all of the candidates were there, and each of us were invited to go to Frankfurt to rally on behalf of the Fairness Ordinance, not only locally, but on a state level. And Tyler and I were the only two candidates that went to Frankfurt to do that. I truly think that this is what makes Louisville special, that we need to be a welcoming place where everyone is welcome, and it will bring our entire community together. Because with discrimination, we can never be the kind of city that we want to be. So not only do I think that fairness is important for Louisville, but when I'm mayor, I want to lobby in Frankfurt consistently to make sure this is a statewide issue as well.
I do support the Fairness Ordinance, and as Shannon said, we were asked if, as mayor, we would use part of our political capital and our leadership role as the largest city in the state to actually take that message to the state and promote statewide fairness. And I said that I would, and we just happened to have a rally to that effect. And I want to put this in context. Yes, in theory, we are all protected in certain ways, but in this very state that we live in, okay, we actually, the voters of the state just a few years ago actually passed an amendment to limit the rights specifically of same-sex marriage. And so that tells you, in fact, that it's not an even playing field. And so it is important that we are vigilant, because it is incredibly important that not only Louisville be a hospitable, welcoming place, but the Commonwealth of Kentucky as well. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. The next question will be from Evan Hollander, starting with Ms. Moxley, and then the following question will be from Lloyd Fowler.
Thanks. Wake County, North Carolina recently eliminated its student assignment plan, which was similar in many ways to the one we have here in Louisville. As mayor, what do you think should be done about the student assignment in Louisville schools, and how would you advocate for the same plan we have now or a different plan?
Well, thank you for the question. I've said previously that diversity in the schools is extremely important, and there's just no other way to say that. I'm somebody who grew up in West Louisville, and as I mentioned earlier, went to St. Francis School in Goshen, to the high school, and there was just immeasurable value in on both sides, me going and interacting with people with different backgrounds, different upbringing, and on the other side as well. And so I think that we really, and when you're trying to prepare people for the 21st century global economy that we're living in, you can't do anything other than that. So for me, what we need to do is look at what the real concerns are of the people who have an issue with this plan, and see how we can address the issues in a way that protects what we're trying to do for diversity in the schools. I'm meeting with Superintendent Berman in a couple of weeks, and I certainly plan to talk with him and ask him about this, so that we can get on a good path to address the issues that people have, but to make sure we're still doing the right thing.
When busing started in our community some 30 plus years ago, and it was a really radical and violent time for the community when busing started. So I'm sure some of you all have read about that. A lot of people have shed a lot of blood, sweat, and tears over this issue as well. So we've come a long, long way in terms of race relations in our community in the last 30 plus years. So So abandoning the student assignment plan would be a real step backward. I'm a strong supporter of it. It's not a perfect plan. It's in its early years, as we know. So what JCPS is trying to do to address the problems that you all have, that your parents have with lengthy transportation and commute times, is a step in the right direction. They seem to be working very hard on that. Obviously, it's important that students and parents have choice as well. So I'm looking forward to the maturation of the magnet programs within JCPS as well. But we fought too hard for these advances. Now, you all, as people that are interested in politics, are going to have some very interesting local races to watch coming up here with the school board elections. You know, I believe there will be a, you know, so-called movement by certain conservatives, they call themselves conservatives, to put in people on the school board to eliminate the student assignment plan. So this is something that I would urge you to advocate against so that we can keep the gains that we've made in this community through merging of all the schools. Thank you.
Yeah, I too support the student assignment plan that we currently have, because it does provide for the rich experiences that you have when you have a diverse background. Learning does take place from reading a book. It also comes from the interaction and the socialization that takes place between students. But that being said, there is also a need to recognize the fact that there are some disparities within the plan that need to be addressed. It doesn't make sense for kids who are coming from one side of the county to be transported all the way over to the other side of the community. And then if something were to happen to that child, it becomes impossible for that parent who lives on a fixed income or is working an hourly job, who has to rely upon public transportation to get to and from work or to and from wherever they're going, to be able to not be able to get out to their child. So there needs to be some serious thought and discussion as to how do we make things better. I'm one that doesn't believe in always accepting the either or proposition that gets put to us all the time. It's either accept the student the assignment plan that we have or go back to neighborhood schools. I believe that there's a middle ground there called both and. That we can explore, that we can develop, and that we can maintain Louisville being one of the best school systems that we have in the country. And that being said, let me say this as well. Our educational system at the same time must also be increased. Right now, and improved upon, right now in Jefferson County, 1 in 4 Louisvillians will not have a high school diploma. That puts us near the bottom of the list in front of our competitor cities. When you take it a step further, you start talking about college attainment rates. In Jefferson County, only 40% of our white population have college degrees, and only 13% of our African-American population have college degrees. When we're talking about making Louisville a destination city moving forward, a part of what makes us an attractive city is not only having the rich diversity that we have in our classroom and within our school system, but it's also being a well-educated community as well. And this provides us an opportunity to improve upon the gains that we've already made in this community. Thank you.
I'm Jackie Green, independent mayoral candidate. Your turn's coming next. Next time I won't say it, you tell me who I am. I am not a supporter of the transportation plan. And do not buy the line that those who do not support the transportation plan are conservatives. Conservative as in right wing. I am not right wing. I'm glad to hear your concern about TARP cuts. You're exactly right, David. It is tremendously unfair to send a student across the county to school while that student's parents are dependent on TARP and unable to participate in the education of the child. Parental education is a must for the success of the child in that child's education. Let's talk about diversity along with integrity. Tell me which has more integrity. Diversity created with a false transportation plan or diversity created by having diverse neighborhoods. We have blighted neighborhoods that are falling apart, some of which are being torn down. As we build new and affordable housings, that housing needs to be distributed throughout the county so every neighborhood is a diverse neighborhood. Every school is a diverse neighborhood. That is a much truer, I would put to you, diversity than hauling kids like cattle from point A to point B to meet a quota. Let's get more diversity within our neighborhoods. And it can be done. There are techniques to do that. Integrity. We burn 12,000 gallons daily, we being Jefferson County public public school system. Yet we are trying to teach the student body responsibility and environmental concerns. Burning 12,000, I mean, you guys can see through that. 12,000 gallons is not a responsible environmental position. What do you do to encourage students what do you do to encourage students to walk to school, to bicycle to school? We have this large problem with obesity in our student population. I'm going to propose that we establish an absolute, unambiguous pedestrian right-of-way within three blocks of every school. Within three blocks of every school, a pedestrian can cross the street at the corner, middle of the street, anywhere, and that pedestrian has the right-of-way. This will slow down our traffic. It'll make our streets safer. It'll encourage parents to let their kids walk to school. It'll encourage the kids to walk to school. I would couple with that a carpool line, which these really aren't carpool lines, they're just drop-off lines. Rather than have a drop-off line or two at each school, the drop-off should take place within that, at the perimeter of that three-block right-of-way. That means that all those students coming to school, being dropped off by parents, can then join the rest of the students in walking to school, putting more people, more eyes, more feet on the sidewalk and street, making our sidewalk safer. The transportation plan has been acknowledged as a 30-year-old plan. If it's not worked by now, we need to start questioning it. What is the question? What is the definition of insanity? I think it's trying the same thing over and over and over again, getting the same results. We need to rethink this one. Thank you.
When I came down here this evening, this afternoon, talked with a group of, I think, five young women in the back here, on the fifth row, and said, well, what do y'all live in the same neighborhood? And they said to me, no, we live in all different neighborhoods. And that's pretty much true of everybody that goes to Mandel. I love it. I support the goals of diversity in this community. I think there are benefits. But as we move forward, the current student assignment plan is not working. I mean, as I talk to parents across this community, I have to tell you there is a lot of unrest. And it's not just unrest in the South End or the West End. It's throughout the entire community. Anytime you put a first grader on the bus for 2 or 3 hours a day, what are you taking away from that first grader? So what I hope that happens, what I would encourage happening, is that there is a school board-led effort to rewrite the student assignment plan, that we can still meet our goals with diversity, increase the resources in magnet schools. Maybe it takes more magnet schools. Change the shape of some of the districts. We still need to accomplish our goals of diversity, but the current plan is hurting children, and parents in this community want to rewrite. And it's time to figure out how to do it, to save some fuel, to save some time on the bus, lose more time for homework or socialization outside, and still accomplish the goals we have been moving towards in this community. $12,000 gallons, that's a lot. Times 285 a gallon, or what diesel, whatever diesel is, 279 a gallon. That's a lot of money every day. It's a lot of money, it's a lot of resources, a lot of wasted fossil fuels. I would love to see us somehow figure out a way to go back to more community or neighborhood-oriented schools, the kind of schools where the kids ride their bikes to school or walk to school in safe neighborhoods all over the county, not just in certain parts of the county, but while still being able to support the magnet schools where if you had a particular interest that you could come to that school. Like, for instance, my daughter really wants to go to YPASS. She plays viola, and she would really love to go to YPASS in a couple of years when she's ready for high school. And so I'd like to still see us have that ability, if we want, to get our kids in certain types of training, but also have the community schools where we can feel safe that our kids are close by and not far away, not on the other side of the county. I myself was bused from J-Town out to Parkland Middle School, I think at 27th Street, something like that. Oddly enough, that was the school that my mother went to back in the 40s, and I ended up going there. But I would love to see us have more community schools where you're close by, and it's kind of, you feel a sense of community around there, while working on, like what Jackie said, working on making the more diverse neighborhoods as well, not just the schools.
I do want to reaffirm my support for the Student Assignment Plan. I think that what we are doing is educating the workforce of the future. And so we need to be sure that just because you live in a low-income neighborhood or you're not given the opportunities that other children do in this community, that you are educated at a high level. But there are two important points to the Student Assignment Plan. First, we do all need to look at the transportation plan because I have 11-year-old twins and a little guy who's 8. And if I told them that they had to ride on a bus for 2.5 hours to and from school, I can imagine how that would make me feel as a mother. So I'd like to redo that as well. But first, we need to make sure that we have choices. We need to give parents 4 or 5 choices for their schools. And the other important part of it is a very strong appeals process, so that if you do not get your first or your second choice, that you feel heard and that your argument is validated. We need to be sure that if you don't get your first or second choice, that you'll be okay living with your third or fourth choice. I'm also concerned at the message that we're sending to some of our students. Recently, I've been down to Bick Elementary on Cedar Street at 28th and Cedar Street, and it's a wonderful arts magnet. And out in front, children were doing art projects and having a great time. But right across the street, there are 3 abandoned houses who are in falling down, disrepair. They're not safe, they're an eyesore. And what kind of a message does that send our elementary school students, that you are neglected and abandoned and we can't get these fixed? So some of these solutions, we need to look at them in a common sense and a creative approach to make sure that they're done. Let's look at the transportation and let's try to get as many people behind this effort as we can. Thank you.
I'm going to try this, Jackie. My name is Tyler Allen, and I'm an independent candidate in the Democratic primary. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to answer this question for you, because I think we have some very significant competing values. And actually, I'll make a nod to Jackie, and I appreciate having him in these conversations, because he brings up some very relevant points. But we have a very, very significant value of diversity. I know this personally. My kids go to Brandeis. I suspect some of you all came through Brandeis. School of choice, a fantastic school of choice. My kids, my 6-year-old actually did ride a bus for an hour a day. Wasn't a problem because it seemed to work for us, all right? But after 40 years, almost 40 years, of the way we do things, the other part of the equation is we need diversity, we need people being able to interact and understand and value other folks, but of course we also at the very same time actually have to be providing quality education and opportunity for every kid in this community. So therefore the question of if I have choice from my cluster school to other schools, that in fact it really is a choice. Because one choice out of 5 is not a choice. even for parents who can make that choice. So where Brandeis is, if you know where Brandeis is, there are five schools within a very short distance of Brandeis that when I talk to where the kids, quite frankly, don't have the same opportunities as my kids are getting, and within the exact same school district. And so we can talk a lot about both and, but we're gonna have to figure out the both and. We're gonna have to figure out a way to, in fact, deliver the diversity that we need, but if you were doing that at the expense of an equal opportunity for everybody, that is a huge problem. And so, now I was gonna dodge this question totally because I saw a board member in here earlier, and in fact, school board is gonna have to wrestle with this in the short term, but the next mayor of the city is gonna have to be an advocate for the citizens of this community, to encourage them to be involved, and to put political pressure where it needs to be brought at the state and the local level to start delivering comprehensively on that promise. So thank you for the question.
My name is Chris Thaneman and I'm a Republican candidate for mayor, but it's kind of a good idea, actually, I like that too. But you know, this is a very important issue, one that we were asked the other night at the Mazeek Middle School. Many of the candidates that were there were asked about this exact question. And, you know, having two little girls and having somebody tell me that they have to go somewhere, you know, these are my precious little girls that I want to have a say in that. And I think it's so important that the parents are involved. Now, I want to back up for a moment. Now, the next mayor, whoever she or he may be, is not going to have a vote on this issue. But they need to be, like Tyler said, an advocate of the people. And what I hear is that, and many of the other parents that I hear from say that they want a choice. They want to be able to have their child or their children go to where they would like to, for them to go. And one of the things that I would like to see in many of the federally funded programs that we have and the Section 8 programs that we have, I would like to try to, if there are other schools that they were going to go to that may be an hour away, you know, I think maybe if the parents would like the opportunity to live in those neighborhoods that may be on government-assisted programs, would be more welcome into those neighborhoods. And I would like to see, as a developer, you know, we build neighborhoods. And we have to, as a neighborhood, you got to be all-inclusive and have the groceries, have the fruits and vegetables down the street, everything available for you. And I remember running around in grade school, after school, running to my friends. And if I was going to have to be on a bus, I'm not sure that I know that wouldn't have worked for me. And that's something that we have to take in consideration. We have to listen to our citizens and let our parents have a say in this. Thank you.
My name is Lloyd Fowler, I'm the president of the Teenage Republican Club, and I'd like to thank Tim and Katie for organizing this event. My question revolves around the bridges. I asked my mom one time, how long have they been working on this? She said, forever. You know, you're going to be an old man before you get this issue solved. So my question to you is, would you like to accelerate it, kill it, which bridge, and the positives and negatives of your viewpoint on the bridges? So. If you would start with that, Mr. Fisher, thanks.
Okay, thank you. My name is Greg Fisher, Democrat. I do want to announce that I received the endorsement from the Sierra Club today, so I was proud to broaden our constituency there. Thank you. Woo! Since I'm saying those kind of things, I have been endorsed also by 40,000 active and retired labor families as well, so I've got a great coalition of business and labor leaders. Relative to the bridges, my mantra on that is connect, correct, and improve. If you gave a box of crayons to some of your all's 5 and 6 year old kids, they would draw a line between the Gene Snyder in Eastern Kentucky across the river to Indiana. So we need to connect 265. Correct means make Spaghetti Junction safer, less congestion time while we're building the downtown bridge. We want to do that with a minimum footprint on downtown. Yes, it's going to be more than what it has right now. All these things are trade-offs. If we want to be relevant in interstate communication, interstate transportation, which is very important for job growth, we need to do this. So that's the correct part. Then the improved part relates to Waterfront Park. People come from all over the world to see what Louisville has done with Waterfront Park, where we reclaimed the front of our river by getting rid of the junkyards. So that's a best practice that we have in town. So whatever we do with the project, we need to make Waterfront Park more accessible so that it's more inviting for people to go into. So connect, correct, improve. And yes, we need to move forward. We've been studying this for about 30 years now.
Yeah, I've been a longtime supporter of the Ohio River Bridges project, which entails the two bridges, the East End Bridge and the Downtown Bridge, being constructed. And I've done so because it does a number of things. One is, everybody's talking about how do we get our economy moving again. Well, the Bridges project creates 50,000 jobs throughout the life of that project, where people right here in Louisville will be put to work. In addition to that, what it does is it continues to sustain our place as a community, as a transportation and logistics hub, a place where we can get goods and services anywhere in the world from right here in Louisville, Kentucky. That's the type of city we've always been, and that's the type of city that we will be moving forward. What we also have to do as well is, while we're also building the Bridges project, seriously take a look at and actually build a mass transit system that connects, or a light rail system that connects the airport to the fairgrounds, through the University of Louisville, through the neighborhoods in between downtown, and then into downtown Louisville. What that light rail system does is makes us, again, going back to being a destination city for people all around the world, it makes us the type of place to where you can navigate our city easily without having to use a car, and make us the type of city where we're, again, putting people back to work again and then sustaining ourselves moving forward. So that's where I stand with the Bridges project. We need to go ahead and move forward with it, because too many times the big issues or the big challenges that we have in our community, we suffer from what I call the paralysis of analysis, where we're constantly hand-wringing and trying to figure out what we're gonna do, as opposed to getting the best information that we possibly can get, making an educated decision, and then implementing that plan moving forward, as opposed to waiting and allowing for other cities to pass us by. Thank you.
Hi, I am
Johnny Green.
Oh man, where's Larry? He's got some bright students here. You guys are doing well. Bridges. I talked about keeping an eye on the bigger issues. The EPA is about to put into place new particulate standards, which are going to impact us. Energy prices, energy supplies are not going to stay where they are today. That bridge won't be built for 10, 15 years. Don't count on gas at $3 a gallon. We are cutting TARC services for the second time this year. We've raised TARC fares twice in the past 2 years. We're cutting TARC services and spending $5 billion to build one or two more Ohio River bridges. What Louisville needs is a world-class public transit system before we build any new bridges. Don't buy the jobs argument. Building a bridge is not the only way to create a job, or even thousands of jobs. Don't buy the hub argument. Hubs can be created with rapid transit on the local level and high-speed rail on a national level. But don't buy those arguments. They are canards. Don't buy the argument that we can build both a public transit system and one or two more Ohio River bridges. Take a look at the plan, the financial plan for the bridges. We're talking about tolling. Every bridge, I think it's right now, every bridge but the Clark Memorial Bridge, we're talking about tolling all the bridges that we have, essentially selling the bridges that we have for a bridge we don't need, not Louisville. Southern Indiana Development may need that bridge, but Louisville does not need that bridge. There was another issue. It's gone. It'll come back. Keep an eye on the bigger issues, okay? Thanks.
I've heard this question almost my whole life. In fact, when I was your age and sitting in an auditorium, that's when a group, we have a planning group here in Louisville called Kentuckiana Planning Development Agency, issued their first report. And in that report, in 1969, they said, we need as a highest priority, get the East End Bridge built. I was 17, 18 years old then. It's simply time to build the bridges. I mean, we've studied it to death. It's been 40 years. We need it for commerce. The East End Bridge, we need to complete the loop. The downtown bridge, we took the safety lanes and we made them traveled lanes because it was so hopelessly over capacity. And now without safety lanes, using every available foot to move the traffic, it's already over capacity. Okay, well, so what? It's over capacity? Well, some people have to wait a little longer. Does that really matter? Well, what happens is, from a trade standpoint, we are on a north-south trade route, sort of the Mexico to Canada route. And you may have studied in some of your classes how important, even 300 years ago, being on a trade route was. And I can tell you, having been in the business of people doing light manufacturing and distribution, how important it is to be near those trade routes. And if we don't keep I-65 from being a choke point, it just all that trade, it moves west. Here's I-69, there's other routes. It's important that we not have a choke point here in Louisville just from a trade standpoint. It's unsafe. Come across from Indiana and try to get off there to go to 64 or 71 through that maze of curves that has wreck after wreck after wreck. And if we start now, because of the complexity of it, it still takes 12 years to fix it. Let's get started. Right now, interest rates are half of what they projected. We can get a long-term loan for 3%. Let's do it. People are out of work. Construction costs. They said, when they gave the cost, they said construction costs were going like that. Well, you know what's happened? People are out of work. Those construction costs have dropped back down because people are out of work. Let's build it and build it now while we can build it for less than any time in the past 10 years. That's my position. By the way, I'm Jonathan Robertson. I'm a Republican candidate. Just kind of a theme. I've said before, and I'll say it again, I believe that if we build the East End Bridge and straighten out Spaghetti Junction, I think we'll find we don't need a downtown bridge right away. And I think it'll be many years before we need one. I personally, when I drive across, I have clients over in Indiana that I go over to every once in a while, and when I come back, the choke point that he's talking about is always when you're getting off to go to 64 and 71. The other two lanes seem to be moving just fine. And if you look on the up, if you go up in one of the buildings, like I've been in the National City Tower many a day where it's during peak traffic time, and you see the inner lanes of the bridge seem to be moving along fine, it is the on and off ramps, the access points of the bridge that are a problem. So I think that if we do build an East End Bridge, that will alleviate a lot of traffic from all the people that come over here to work from Indiana and vice versa. I don't think there's many go over there, but I think we'll find that then traffic will flow much better across the East End Bridge, not to mention the jobs it will create. But I believe more than anything, first we need to start straightening out Spaghetti Junction. That has been an annoyance for me all of my life living here in Louisville. I used to drive from J-Town out to down to U of L through 64 and 65. And I would run into so much traffic every day, and it was so annoying because it is just a poor design. It was a poor design in the beginning, and it's a poor design now. And that's one of those things where we as Louisvillians have been so myopic. We just looked right here in front of our face. We said, way back when we made Spaghetti Junction, oh, well, based on today's traffic, here's what we'll build it. We didn't say, well, based on traffic 20 or 30 years from now, here's what we'll build. So what we need to do is we need to plan it so that it makes sense, so that it flows nicely, so we don't have people sitting in traffic, and we need to plan it so that it's good for 20 or 30 years, and then maybe if we continue to grow, then maybe we might look at another East End Bridge or even somehow retrofitting the bridge we have to make it bigger. I'm Jonathan Robertson.
Thank you for this question. And the funny thing about it is that I asked my mom the same thing. I was not even born in 1969 when they first started talking about the bridges. And when I was in college, my parents have friends who work at Jeff Boat, and they were passing out bumper stickers. And I put one on the back of my car. And the years slip by, and that bumper sticker has disintegrated to dust. I had that on the back of my car for 10 years, and nothing was done. I'm so frustrated about this issue because to me, as a newcomer and someone who's looking at everything in a fresh perspective, this seems like political posturing to me all of the time. When I was president of the Young Professionals Association of Louisville, I had an opportunity to sit on the Build the Bridges Coalition, and it was just paper pushing all year. They just pushed paper around until it was time for an election, and then they started talking about the bridges again. My stance on this issue is we need to build the East End Bridge now. I agree with Hal that interest rates are so low and there's never been a better time. I disagree with Jackie. This is a wonderful way to get jobs, not only construction jobs, but think of all the small and medium-sized businesses that will support a huge project like this. So we need to build the East End Bridge now. The other thing I want you to do, encourage you to do, is to do some research on the plan. I've talked to people from all over the community, and people do not understand that it will be a concrete waterfront park on top of Waterfront Park. There is a better way to do that. What we need to do first is to build the East End Bridge. Let's increase our transportation since we're a logistical hub that way, and then let's figure out a way to redesign Spaghetti Junction that does not make our downtown look like a concrete jungle. Thank you.
Well, I've spent the last 5 years of my life going around this community to all the surrounding counties, talking to people on the other side of the river and this side of the river. It led to the founding of a group called 8664, which is a drastically, in my opinion, better vision for the future of this community. But the first step in that is completing the I-265 corridor and the East End Bridge. You need look no further than that subject in this community to see how the interests of the powerful and wealthy few have stymied opportunity for our entire community. As we sit up before you and talk about job growth and development and growth of the community, that has been hindered for a long time because of that attitude in our community. Hal, I was one when that thing was talked about in 1969 when they're building the Jefferson Freeway. And somehow, didn't mean that. But the current vision, you should not allow anyone in this race to get away with talking about this project and saying, oh, this bridge here and this bridge there. The downtown bridge of this project is connected to a 23-lane wide Spaghetti Junction. $2 billion, almost half the cost of this project. Okay? That is, if you go back to 1955 thinking, 1965 thinking, the great dream of the future of superhighways, does anyone in this room expect our transportation future to look like that? No, it can't look like that. Our city's future cannot look like that. No one will want to come to our city if it is buried in concrete. Over Waterfront Park, this stunning park, expanding that highway is not a good idea. And to talk about it in the abstract, and to suggest that maybe we could tweak it here and tweak it there to maybe make it better is disingenuous beyond belief, because you cannot do that. You must ask different questions. You must change this conversation. The very future of our community depends on it. Now, we can talk about how cheap it is to build now, all right, but always be careful of that question, because yes, it is correct. We should be ready to build the East End Bridge now because it is cheaper. But imagine what it will cost to maintain a 23-lane wide interchange in our city. As fuel costs go up, now, once again, I always appreciate what Jackie brings to this conversation, but I do disagree there. I believe we need to build that bridge now, because I believe the other component of that, besides reclaiming our waterfront and changing the destiny of our city, we actually do need to be moving on to the next transportation question. And the next transportation question is rail transit in our community. It is a builder and driver of neighborhoods. I've been talking about a streetcar line east-west and north-south in this community. Some of the great neighborhoods, including the one that we're in this community, were built around streetcar lines. So when we talk about a walkable, livable, enjoyable city for the future, that's how it's gonna come about. And so, I have about an hour-long talk on this, but I'm gonna leave it right now there. And so thank you for the question.
Have you ever sat in a forum
listen to people talk and talk and talk and say, come on, let's get going. Well, that's how I feel about this subject. We gotta stop talking about building a bridge. We gotta build that East End Bridge. And we do not need to build that downtown bridge. Let's get going and build that East End Bridge that is being stopped by just a few power brokers in this community that control the good old boys. And that's what we're gonna stop with our campaign, Thieneman for Mayor. Thank you.
I come at this from a fresh perspective too, I think too, because I haven't been involved in this conversation for years and years like some other folks have been. And I've talked to a lot of people about this issue, and it seems to me that there is some consensus now. Maybe there hasn't always been, but there seems to be some consensus now that a reasonable, good thing to do is to build the East End Bridge. It will bring jobs, obviously, to the community now. It is something that we need to do to address some of the transportation issues that we have. But the entire project is something that we need to look at. We can get started on the bridge, but I think we need to look at the rest of that plan because I can't imagine a downtown that has 23 lanes of concrete. And I know that you guys are gonna have to live with this decision. Your younger brothers and sisters are gonna have to live with this decision. And as Tyler said, there are people who are coming into this city that we're trying to attract, businesses and other young professionals who will, you know, look at that and be like, what are you doing? And so I think that we need to look at the alternatives. I don't know that we have done a great job of looking at all the reasonable alternatives to a downtown bridge and giving them equal voice. And so I do think that we need to do that, making sure that everybody's educated about what our real options are for going forward. And yes, I agree, we need to also be talking about light rail.
All right, believe it or not, we're coming up on the end of this. What we're gonna do, I don't think this is working. But I have a big mouth. What we're gonna do is we're gonna let each of the candidates kind of give just a 30-second kind of my question, which is day one, what's your first priority? So your first day in office, what's the first thing you're gonna do? Give us a real short little bit, and then we're gonna finish off. So go ahead, starting with Councilman Tandy.
Well, the first thing I'll do on day one is, one, focus on getting our local economy moving again, and subset A to that is continuing to help improve our educational system. That's the foundation upon which we're going to lead this city moving forward and make Louisville the type of a city where we're going to be bringing you and your peers back to our community again. And to learn more about what I want to do for our community, I'd encourage you to go to my website, davidtandy.com, and read my comprehensive vision for the city of Louisville. Thank you.
You know, I'm Jackie Green. Am I Democrat, Republican? Thank you. Day one, we start building a world-class public transit system as a higher priority than building another Ohio River Bridge. Day one, we begin changing our urban growth pattern to invest in our established neighborhoods, our abandoned commercial and industrial sites, and our blighted neighborhoods. In doing so, we protect the few remaining farms, forests, and fields in our county. Day one, we start changing our state's, our community's status as the nation's seventh most dangerous community for pedestrians. I'm Jackie Green, independent mayoral candidate.
Day one, we kick off this government with make sure we have a management group that's committed to growing jobs and opportunities here in Louisville. That's the area we need major improvement, and that's what we are gonna run after on day one. Thank you. My name is Hal Hunter. My first priority would be to make our government more efficient on day one, begin doing that. By making technology useful for us in making it more efficient. And then I would begin bringing, begin the job of bringing high-tech companies to Louisville, Kentucky. And one way I would do that is to start looking at how we could build a fiber infrastructure in our city, like Google Gigabit is proposing, and by then hopefully they'll have been started, and we can start connecting our city to the world at speeds way more than we ever thought about. And also, if you'd like, you can text me at 502-509-4610 and ask, and I would like to know, what would you do with gigabit speed internet? Jonathan Robertson.
Day one in my administration, I want to try to bring the community together. And one of the biggest passions that I've found while campaigning is affordable housing. We have thousands of single mothers and families that are on Section 8 waiting list, and then we have thousands of vacant and abandoned properties. I want to get creative and get people back to work with developers and builders, rehabbing these houses and making them more energy efficient. But overall, I want to have a diverse, exciting community so that as young professionals and young people, you want to live here and stay here for generations. You can check out my website at white4mayor.com for more information. I'm Shannon White, Democratic candidate for mayor. Thank you.
When I'm elected mayor, I think it will mean that it's okay to start having a conversation. We don't have to be afraid or limit what questions we ask about the future of our community. And so the first day that I am mayor, I intend to fulfill merger by actually sitting down with the rest of our elected officials in our government, in Metro Council, to start putting on the table some questions that we can ask to move this city forward. I think you've heard about a few of the questions I'd like to see asked, but that is where we'll start, because only when we ask the right questions are we going to start getting past the insanity and start doing some things differently.
My first day, I will make sure that we're going to audit the books. In this current administration, he doesn't share the numbers, our money with anyone but himself and a very few select members of his cabinet. We have to know where our money is. And before I take over and am the mayor of our community and responsible for our money and taxes, I'm going to make sure I know where that money is and where he has spent that money and where we need for that money to go. Thank you.
For me, the most important thing to do at the beginning of any process is to make sure that everybody's on the same page about where we're going. You cannot figure out how to get somewhere if you have no idea where you're going. So I'm committed to making sure that we are all on the same page and have a common vision for the direction of this city, and then we go about putting together a good strategy, and I know that that's something that might be new, but a strategy, a plan for how we go about achieving our common vision.
My name is Greg Fisher, run on the Democratic side. I'm asking you to go to my website at gregfisher.com, download this. This is the Citizens Bill of Rights. That's what I would start doing on day one, so all of our citizens understand what the roles are as citizens, and what you all deserve is great customer service from the government, and train this for all the city employees as well. So gregfisher.com, and I can tell you one thing, on a day like this, on a spring day, when the sun is out there, I just want to say two words, class dismissed. Thank you.